The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. See if you've heard any of these. Never let them see a sweat. History is written by the winners. Winners never quit, quitters never win. Winner takes all. Some of these sayings don't sound very nice, but they're a kind of common sense in our world. However, in the gospel reading today, when it comes to God, Jesus reveals that common sense is nonsensible. Peter simply couldn't imagine the Messiah, the anointed one of God, suffering, being rejected, being killed. Peter was simply in denial. Some prophets of the Hebrew scriptures plainly said that God's anointed was to come as a suffering servant. But Peter wanted his Messiah to be strong, to defeat wrong, to be victorious. Peter was in denial. Perhaps he didn't want to be part of something that was going to fail in the eyes of his family and friends. He'd given up his old life to follow Jesus, after all. Maybe he didn't want to look like a fool. Peter was in denial. Certainly, his fellow disciples would find a pep talk more helpful than some incomprehensible disaster of suffering and being killed looming ahead. Maybe Jesus didn't really know how to be a strong leader for his followers. So Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Peter's not alone. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt. That's one of my favorite sayings. Bill's heard that a few times. I've heard a number of his a few times too, so we're even. Human beings are very skilled in the art of denial. We deny that aging and death are a natural part of life, and somehow we talk ourselves into the newest reformulated cosmetic that it now this one will truly get rid of all signs of aging. We deny our powerlessness over so much in life and cover it up by trying to be in control of something. But we can't help revealing this need for control in all circumstances. For example, while being a helpless passenger in a car, I can't be the only one who pumps an invisible brake on the passenger side. We deny that wealth and possessions do not lead to a fulfilled life. And so we buy houses that we can't afford to furnish. We deny all of the ways that we harm creation for future generations. Nothing should change our way of life. And we deny having personal troubles in life until an anxiety attack wakes us up at 3 a.m. and we can't get back to sleep. And like Peter, even though we've heard it many times before, perhaps, we still want God to come and intervene for us powerfully, victoriously, even magically. We want to be part of something as Christians that looks successful in the eyes of the world, where God gets rid of all the bad guys and hurtful things like disease and injustice. We don't want to wait until the last day. We want all of that now and for me, thank you very much. We don't really want a God who comes to us in weakness or suffering. See, Peter's not alone in denial. It's precisely, however, to those who are in denial that Christ came with forgiveness, that Christ comes with forgiveness and new life. In weakness, on the cross, in the last place we'd expect to find the creator of the universe, crucified. In the opposite form that we expect to look for God. This morning, God comes to us in this weak word preached, in a bit of wine and bread given in our hands and mouths. Christ comes to you, bringing forgiveness, bringing a foolish strength that will survive all the losses of this world. And in trusting God, a new creation is raised up in us, just as God raised Christ from the dead, a new creation who can deny the self from time to time, who can see beyond its own skin and needs. A new creation is raised up in us as we have faith and trust in God, who takes up the cross, in other words, who risks looking weak and foolish for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of the neighbor. A new creation raised up in us who understands that this way of weakness and foolishness is really the lasting way, and that this world's way of strength, of might makes right, of triumph over others will lose in the end. A new creation in us who blesses those who persecute, who feeds enemies, who associates with the lowly, who outdoes one another in showing honor, and then messes up, and then gets forgiven, and then trusts that God will have the final vengeance. These are Jesus' words to Peter, who in the moment can't bear the thought of losing or looking foolish. Don't worry, let God take care of them. They will be repaid for what's been done. In that moment, Jesus doesn't reveal that the final word for everyone will go beyond wrath and judgment to mercy and forgiveness. And that form of mercy and forgiveness was marked on your forehead in the form of a cross at your baptism. For the cross is the final, absolutely final word. And on the cross, Jesus gathers all of the evil in the world, all of our own sin and evil and denial, and overcomes it with good. When it comes to salvation, God's strength and power are shown most clearly in the weakness of forgiveness, the cross. So, winner takes all, loser takes all. And all the losers gratefully say, thanks be to God. Amen.